This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 31. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, as well as Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Sean Sullivan. Second year in a row, Sean Sullivan is not only playing in one of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues, but he is also writing a check for $1,000 from Bill Curry Ford to the winner of both podcast leagues in 2021. Thank you, Sean Sullivan. And an early shout out to our friend Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira Kaufman got his first win this week in one of the two podcast leagues. It was at my expense, as Ira has a very good, productive team early this season. He put up near triple digits a third week in a row. I was not able to get enough out of DeAndre Hopkins this week to keep up with Ira, and Ira defeats me head-to-head, and I will shake his hand personally and congratulate him. With his appearance at Big Storm Brewing in Pinellas County on 49th Street on Sunday, as Ira makes regular appearances there to watch the Buccaneer road games. Well done, Ira. Thank you for supporting me. I will always support you. Email for podcast listeners is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Thanks, John, for always emailing me, even though John plays in one of the leagues. He reaches out to me for advice. I am not playing against him in that particular podcast league, so John is simply taking advantage of the podcast. And I always appreciate your questions, John, as I do everyone's questions, whether you're playing in the podcast leagues or not. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Also, catch my weekly appearances talking fantasy football with the wonderful Gil Alexander out of Las Vegas on VSIN, the sports betting network. Usually I make appearances on Thursday. Last week it was Friday. Gil Alexander's A Numbers Game show airs 10 a.m. to 12 noon weekdays on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSiN.com. All right, let's review week three. I'm recording this. I waited a week because the Cowboys and Eagles on Monday night to incorporate all the numbers for week three. Recording this at lunchtime on Tuesday. You will probably hear it by Tuesday afternoon, maybe Wednesday morning. Let me first start with quarterbacks, just because Josh Allen had a very disappointing first 2 weeks for those of you who made him maybe the second quarterback selected in fantasy drafts. He was the number one fantasy player, not just QB1. He was the number one fantasy player in my leagues with my scoring settings last year. A couple of things stood out about the first two games. One, Buffalo Bills running backs were more productive on the ground than Josh Allen was with his legs. And Josh Allen was very inaccurate with throws of 10 to 25 yards. So it was just one of those where we were keeping an eye on going into week three. All right, is there a problem here? Or is Josh Allen just off to a bad fantasy start and he'll correct it? He did correct it in week three. He was overall fantasy player number one, not only QB1, but Josh Allen, just like he was for the 2020 season in my scoring settings, for week three, no fantasy player produced more points than Josh Allen. I had him at 34.8. Number two and three were also quarterbacks. Justin Herbert, going against my theory that he's not a fantasy quarterback. He was in week three, 28.9. Matt Stafford, third, as he continues to make big throws, explosive plays for touchdowns. Stafford at 27.2. The first non-quarterback to hit the board in my scoring settings in week three, Mike Williams. Maybe drafted late in some of your drafts, or this is a guy who's been floating on and off waivers the last couple of years, because he'll tease you with a touchdown and 80 to 100 yards, then either get hurt or do nothing for 3 weeks. But Mike Williams is off to a very productive start this year. And he was the highest non-quarterback in my scoring settings in week three, and wide receiver slash tight end one with his 7 touches and 26.2 points. Overall, number 5 was Tom Brady. Even in a losing effort, even in a game where he only had a quarterback sneak for a touchdown and a garbage touchdown pass late, Brady still puts up 25.8 to be overall number 5 and QB 4. Let me run down the rest of the QBs, and then we'll get to wide receiver, tight ends, and then running backs. Sam Darnold, I am disappointed, by the way, that no longer can Darnold pass the ball to D. Arnold in Carolina as a result of Carolina's bad trade for C.J. Henderson. It is a bad trade for Carolina, even with Horn breaking bones in his foot. University of Florida players since Pouncey aren't Pro Bowl players. There have been 2 since Pouncey was drafted. And we're now up to about 60 players from the University of Florida drafted since Pouncey, who is now retired. The only 2 to make the Pro Bowl, Brown and Neal. And stunning to me that Kadarius Toney is doing nothing with the Giants. I'm saying that extremely sarcastically because that's proof the University of Florida does not coach nor recruit pro talent. Darnold, QB5 last week, mainly because of those 2 rushing touchdowns, which may be connected to the McCaffrey injury. Darnold may have more value going forward because McCaffrey is out, that Darnold can use his legs in certain situations where Carolina would have used McCaffrey before. Cousins was QB6 as Minnesota got a win last week. Mahomes was QB7 in a loss. In my scoring settings, Tannehill QB8, Heinicke QB9. I like the way that kid plays. Jacoby Brissett QB10, Dak Prescott on Monday night QB11, and Lamar Jackson was QB12 without a rushing touchdown, only 1 passing touchdown, as the Ravens just struggled to score touchdowns in general. The only touchdown they had was a Jackson passing touchdown. They relied on Justin Tucker, who not only hit the 66-yarder to win the game, but had a miss earlier, I think from something like 45, a shocking miss in climate-controlled conditions. So there were your top quarterbacks. Let me go to running backs. Monday night, Ezekiel Elliott. Now remember, week 1, the Cowboys basically abandoned the run, saying, well, we can't run against this Bucs defense. Let's put Devin White and Lavonte David against their strengths in situations where they have to play the pass, and let's take our chances because we're going to have to keep up with Tom Brady anyway. And it almost worked. But the Cowboys went from the highest pass rate in week 1 to the 2nd lowest pass rate in week 2, and Ezekiel Elliott is RB1 in week 3 based on what the Cowboys did against the Eagles. Zeke had 20 touches overall for 23.6 in my scoring settings. He was RB1. Kareem Hunt. Now this puts a smile on my face because I've been talking for a long time about the value of Kareem Hunt with the Browns, even though people view him as second fiddle to Nick Chubb. The numbers in fantasy say otherwise. Kareem Hunt is basically an RB1 fantasy back with how Kevin Stefanski uses him and runs the Browns' play offense and the play calling. Hunt had 16 total touches in the Browns game. They beat somebody's ass. I forget who it was because it's irrelevant who they played. 21.5 for Kareem Hunt, RB2 only to Zeke. And that made him, I think, 9th overall, 10th overall. Kareem Hunt was overall number 10 in my scoring settings last week. Peyton Barber, well, hello, 26 touches. Basically, John Gruden used Peyton Barber the way he normally uses Josh Jacobs. So much for Kenyon Drake. By the way, and since I know someone who works with him is listening, this is the latest proof that there's a guy on local Tampa Bay radio named Swig who basically says the word 10 times in every sentence and should stop giving fantasy advice. His big advice for a pickup in week two going forward was Kenyon Drake. No. And John Gruden even made a point of talking up Peyton Barber. Now, I don't think much of Barber is a fantasy back, but when you get 26 touches, it's going to generate fantasy points. Even the way Pittsburgh used Najee Harris, almost got him in the top 10 of running backs, even though the Steelers have that horrible offensive line. But Barber is benefiting from Jacob's absence, not Kenyon Drake. Barber, RB3 last week for the Silver and Black. James Robinson. Well, hello. Despite another Jaguar loss, maybe Urban Meyer, considering Trevor Lawrence is throwing the most uncatchable balls of all quarterbacks in the NFL, perhaps Urban Meyer is realizing James Robinson is better than he initially evaluated. Robinson touched the ball 21 times in the Jaguars' loss to the Cardinals and was RB4 for 19.4 points. Then Kamara was RB5, touched the ball 27 times for the Saints. James Conner with Arizona, RB6, as Arizona did a lot of killing of the clock against the Jags. Madison was RB7 in relief of Cook. Remember, Madison, previously when Cook couldn't play, Madison was a dud, but still viewed as a valuable handcuff, and it paid off if you had him. He touched the ball 32 times in the Vikings win in week three. Then Austin Eckler, 17 touches. DeAndre Swift, who had an injury tag going into the Lions game, touched it 21 times. Then the last three running backs in terms of overall scoring. Gibson, who had the long catch and run, that helped kill me in the Foundation League. Bill Eisman, congratulations with your Minnesota State Screaming Eagles on being 3-0. It was the long Gibson catch and run, his only touch receiving, that he turned into a long touchdown that got him up to 16.4 points in my scoring settings. Derrick Henry did not have a touchdown, but did touch the ball 31 times, producing 16.4 points, right on the fringe of top 10 of running backs. And then Aaron Jones, off his huge week two, 21 touches in the win against the 49ers for 15.6. Let me go to wide receiver slash tight ends. The top three, all wide receivers. We've mentioned Mike Williams. There's Cooper Kupp again. Right now, this is one of the biggest things going in fantasy football. Cooper Kupp. Kupp was wide receiver two in week three in my scoring settings. 12 touches, 21.6 points. Only Mike Williams was better. Then you go Emmanuel Sanders, not Stephon Diggs, but Emmanuel Sanders. As Josh Allen broke out, Emmanuel Sanders was the beneficiary. I believe he had two touchdowns on five catches, 21.4 fantasy points. I believe that put him at overall 11 in my scoring settings last week. Then Davante Adams, after the disastrous week one for the Packers. Adams, I think, is around 30 touches the last 2 weeks. And even though it's, I think it's one touch, maybe he didn't get a touchdown in week two. He did get a touchdown in week three. Yeah, because Aaron Jones got all the touchdowns in week two. Davante Adams, wide receiver slash tight end five at 19.2, because Monday night, the only tight end fantasy performance of any significance was Dalton Schultz for the Cowboys, six touches for 20 fantasy points. Other than that, on Thursday and Sunday, the only thing at the tight end position, let's put it this way, the only tight end in the top 61 fantasy players in my scoring settings, QB, wide receiver, tight end, running back, was Tyler Conklin of the Vikings with 13 points. That's it. Until Dalton Schultz showed up, and the Eagles actually used their tight ends for some significant plays on Monday night. But again, the tight end position, Gronk crapped out. Kittle did not put up big numbers. They're even running rushing plays for George Kittle to get him more involved. Mark Andrews, with the Ravens struggling to score touchdowns against Detroit, he didn't jump up. And T.J. Hockenson, I believe, was held to two catches for – was it two catches for 10 yards or two catches for 20 yards? It was bad in Detroit. The Ravens really took him away from Jared Goff. So the rest of the wide receivers, after Adams, wide receiver five was Ja'Marr Chase with his two touchdowns. Clearly Joe Burrow and Chase have a good thing going when it comes to scoring touchdowns. Normally I would say this isn't sustainable, but based on how they go back to LSU, Ja'Marr Chase might have be able to sustain a high rate of touchdowns per completion. Then Lamar Jackson. Wow. McVay said he'd get him more involved. He did. He had one of those huge plays from Stafford. Jackson only touched the ball three times, but two of them were huge plays. He produced 18 points. He was wide receiver six. Then Justin Jefferson, nine touches for 17.8 and a touchdown for the Vikings. DK Metcalf, we talked about selling high on Lockett last week. Clearly DK is the top wide receiver in Seattle. That played out in week three. Six touches, 16.7 points. He was wide receiver eight. Then Kendrick Bourne. Is that Kendrick Bourne? Yep. Bourne was ninth. Hunter Renfro, 10th. A week after Ruggs. So in 3 weeks, this is not what Darren Waller owners. Notice how I left his name out of the tight end conversation. This is not what Darren Waller investors want to hear. Top pass catcher for the Raiders. Other than using Jacobs or Barber out of the backfield, over 3 weeks, Waller week one, Ruggs week two, Renfro week three. Not what Waller owners expected. Then Chris Godwin, six touches for 13.6. Was he wide receiver 11? Yeah, I had him as wide receiver 11. That was going into the Monday night game. I don't think that was bumped down. I don't think any wide receiver, Dalton Schultz, had more for wide receiver tight end flex purposes. Godwin, though, I believe sticks at wide receiver 11 for Tampa Bay from week three. Again, your emails are welcome at TopRightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I'm sorry, I struggled a little bit with my voice there. I got to stop eating the Rice Krispies right before doing the podcast. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Also, another shout out, very successful start in the AFL Podcast League to Scott, regional director of Payway, who catered our draft night at Bill Curry Ford. Excellent draft, the way it has played out. As Scott and I talked about fantasy football for basically an entire year before I got him into one of my leagues, you might see Scott if you're in the Tampa Bay area at the Payway in Carrollwood or the Payway on West Shore, regional manager for Payway. Thank you, Scott, for all you did for us, and congratulations. Your team is off to a really good start in the AFL Podcast League. Thanks for listening to episode 31. We'll talk to you later this week.